Life was very different for people who had mental illnesses. The mental illness specialty was treated very differently than it is today. The man who helped transform mental health care in the United States is Neil Brown. He's the chief of community support programs at the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, and his work there has earned him the spot as a finalist in the Service to America Medal category for career achievement. He's my guest to talk about his work. Thank you very much for being on the program today, Mr. Brown, and congratulations to you.
Well, thank you very much.
What do you think the biggest difference is in the way that people in general, not just the federal government, but people in general think about mental illness and the people who suffer from it today as opposed to when you started?
Well, I think we did make a difference in changing attitudes and changing minds about people with mental illnesses. And this comes from a lot of hard work over a number of years, because when we started with this community support program that I've been affiliated with for all these years, there was an attitude that people with mental illnesses should be in institutions, or if they are in the community, that they didn't have the opportunities that they needed to have a better life in the community. And some of the work that we did early on was to try to change that understanding and change that belief. And I think we did make a difference in having people better understood, having people with mental illnesses have opportunities to make a difference in their own lives, and to get the point across that people do recover from serious mental illnesses.
It seems to me sometimes we get wrapped around the idea that all the progress has been made, and maybe we don't think that it was just a very short time ago that attitudes, as you described them, were very different than they are today. Is that fair, that maybe some folks can rest on the laurels a little bit and not think about the fact that there still is a fair amount of progress to go before people who suffer from mental illness are really looked at in the way that they should be?
Oh, absolutely. I think there's a long way to still to go. Even though we have had some success, we've done a very good job, I think, of working with the states and communities that are responsible for a lot of the mental health programs. But I think that the changes we have to still see are more of the attitudinal changes that people that work in the mental health and helping profession still have towards a lot of the people with the serious mental illnesses, about belief that they do have a chance, that they can recover, that they need to not only get the treatment that may be available, the mental health treatment, but also the help with getting their lives back, their full life, opportunities for employment, for education, to participate fully in society in every way possible. We see that with a number and a growing number of people, but we still have to get the helpers to believe that as well.
I imagine when your career started, if you would have gone out and told people, even in the mental health profession, some of the things that you have proven over the years, they would probably be very surprised today. We have your the little blurb about your nomination and becoming a finalist for this SAMMY Award posted at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth, but there's one paragraph of it that I thought was really interesting. Mr. Brown's become a leading federal advocate for shifting care and government resources from the large psychiatric institutions toward a less expensive community-based rehabilitative model, and you've talked about that. Describe what the process was to try to convince people on all levels, not just inside the federal government, why that was going to work when it was commonly thought, from the way you describe it, that it wasn't going to work. And talk about the maybe if there was a bully pulpit element that you had, being that you were with the federal government.
Well, I think we did have an opportunity being part of the federal establishment. When all this started, it was before there was a Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, a SAMHSA. We were part of the National Institute of Mental Health, and we used that opportunity as being with a very prominent federal agency to get access to the ears and the eyes of people in the states who were responsible for for the treatment services and all the process going around in those days. And we did use selective people in those states to be our courageous workers on behalf of the people with serious mental illnesses to try to make the changes in their states where the services were being provided. And then we also did something I thought was very, very smart in that we worked with the mental health consumers, the people who were ex-patients and former patients, to get them to be the advocates and their families to be the advocates for changes in the way things are done. And getting them on our side and having them contribute to the dialogue and the discussions, I think, helped to change the way systems, the way people worked, and the way people provided services in the community. And we also had to change the mindset from one of the strictly medical approach to one that included rehabilitation, opportunities for employment, making sure that people had housing and opportunities to live independently and on their own and make the decisions for themselves about that. Now, that was one of the hardest things to do, is to have the providers give up some of that control so that the consumers themselves could make those choices and could make the difference in their own lives.
One more question, and we're almost out of time, but at a more broad level, you've experienced successfully something that agencies have challenges with all the time, and that is, as a representative of the federal government, going to states and other entities and giving them information that they may or may not really want to hear at a particular time, and yet it turns out to be to their benefit to hear it and act upon it. Is there a success story that you can share, a technique that you can share, or a mechanism that you put in place that you can share to get that information out in a way that was receptive, that people that maybe didn't want to hear it would take it in anyway and do something about it?
Well, I think it was that combination of working with selective people that, you know, sort of the true believers in some of these states that were anxious to try to spread that word and to do that work, getting them to be the leaders in their states. Even sometimes when their mental health commissioner was not a true believer, they were there to plug this, and also to have that advocacy, that connection with the consumers themselves and their families, who were the biggest advocates, of course, for that increased community care and the ability to get that independence and to have that better life. It's always when you think you're on the right side of something and that it works, you can become a really, really good advocate yourself. And I think our office and the people that worked as federal employees, we also felt that we were advocates ourselves for this better life and for better care for people with serious mental illnesses.